our struggles, He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Jane. The children will not be going. You may be seated. The children will not be going out this morning. Our teachers are all gone. They're out on the road. Really, you kids drove them away. No, not really. We're glad to have the children here. And this is something that they can hear without being offended. And something that is very, very important. You know, I like questions. And I'm going to start off with a question. What is your Christian worldview? What is your Christian worldview? Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have a Christian worldview. You have a worldview. Everybody has a worldview of some sort. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have a Christian worldview. Because in order to have a Christian worldview, you must be a Christian. And so let me define a Christian. A Christian is someone who has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to have died for their sin on the cross, to have been buried, to have risen on the third day, and that He is alive at this very moment in heaven with God, making intercession for you. That's what a real Christian is, a person who has been born again. Now, if you're here this morning and you think, well, I'm not sure whether I've experienced that or not, it's not too late. It's never too late. As long as you're breathing, as long as your heart is, God is ready to receive you. All you have to do is ask Him. Because that's the whole purpose for which He sent Jesus Christ to this earth, was so that you could be saved, so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could live with Him for eternity when this life is over. So, if someone were to ask you, what is your Christian worldview? What kind of an answer could you come up with? Because you see, when I started working on this series, I asked my wife that question. And I'm going to ask you right now. You can think about it. I don't expect to hear anybody reply. But if someone were to ask you, what is your Christian worldview? What kind of an answer would you be able to give them? Everybody, like I said, has a worldview. Your worldview is composed of the experiences that you have had throughout your life, the knowledge that you have of just information, that comprises your worldview. But if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then there's a lot more added to that. It's called a Christian worldview. And that's what we want to look at this morning. This is just going to be an introduction this morning. We're going to really get into it next week. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, Wendy's used to have an ad that said, where's the meat? Okay, well, there's going to be some meat this morning as we do an introduction. This morning is going to be probably a 3-pound porterhouse steak, okay? There is a place in Texas, they actually have 3-pound porterhouse steaks. If you can eat it, you don't have to pay for it. But that's a lot of meat. We're going to have some meat this morning. Now, this morning is just the porterhouse steak. Next week, it's going to be half a beef, okay? So I hope you will not get discouraged or that you will stay with me on this. I'm trying to put this in language that any of us can understand. Language that will make it clear as to what this is. Because sometimes some of these terms are way over my head. And I've told some of you, I really have felt badly. You know, I've got a smartphone. And I saw something on television a few weeks ago where a guy lost his smartphone. And I don't know if any of you saw this, but he lost it for 3 days. And he thought, well, I'm going to try one more thing. I'm going to call my smartphone and see if I can find it. It's got to be around the house someplace. So he called his smartphone and he heard it ringing. By the way, he lived in Central America. And he heard it ringing at the edge of the jungle behind his house. And so he went out and he found it and he got it and he turned it on. And it was full of selfies and video that monkeys were taking of themselves. For real. You know how that made me feel? It made me feel about this high that monkeys know more about the phone than I do. But anyway, there's an old Chinese proverb, and it says, if you want to know what water is, don't ask a fish. Now think about that. If you want to know what water is, don't ask a fish, because water is the sum and substance of the world that the fish lives in. And he doesn't realize that until he's taken out of that medium and put on dry ground. And then he has to struggle for life. That's where we're going to go with this worldview business. Let me explain what a worldview is. Because many times when people hear the term worldview, their eyes glaze over, their mind shuts down, their ears close up, and they think, this is too much for me. But a worldview is really a very simple thing. And so let me try and explain what it is. The environment that you live in influences what is important to you. The environment that you live in emphasizes what is important to you. And there are things that you believe so much, you believe them so strongly, so fervently, that nothing will change your mind. That's a world. That's the beginning of it. Christian faith is like that. You believe what you believe about Jesus and the Bible, and nothing will make you believe anything else. What you believe about your Christian faith is your worldview. The reason we want to examine our worldview as a congregation is to be sure that everyone understands and can verbalize what they believe. We started a Sunday school lesson last week about our emotions and you know, maturity, bringing them to maturity and understanding them. And as we looked into that, as I this past week did my lesson, I began to think, man, I don't understand a lot of this. I don't understand a lot of what makes me tick. But I'm going to look deeper. I want to know. And that's what we're going to try and do. That's what we're going to try and start this morning, about a Christian worldview. And we have to have a basis. There's no Christian worldview without this book. This book is central to a Christian worldview. Now, we're not going to do it this week, but next week I'm going to give you two new terms. I'll give you the first one right now, and you can be week. Anthropocentric. 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 A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-C-E-N-T-R-I-C. Anthropocentric. Anthropology is a study of humans. Anthropocentric means that humans are the center of your focus, of your life. Now, we are not, as Christians, we are not supposed to be anthropocentric. We are supposed to be theocentric. God being the center of our life. And that has to do with a Christian worldview. Now, you don't have to use those words in a sentence. There won't be a test after, okay? But just new words. Words that people use in college classrooms and seminaries, but they are words that are out there. And I you needed to understand. But we have to have, like I said, central to our Christian worldview has got to be this book. If it is anything else, then we have a messed up worldview. And so this book tells us all about God. It tells us all about Jesus Christ. It tells us all about what he wants and what the relationship is supposed to be between us and him. And that is, and the environment that we live in helps establish what our Christian worldview is. Do you think of everything in terms of God, of what he might want, of what he might desire from you? So we have to have a scripture to build upon. And so we are going to use a scripture, 1 Peter 3. Turn to 1 Peter 3. That's going to be right near the back of the Bible. 1 Peter 3. Verses 14 through 16. 1 Peter 3, verses 14 through 16. By the way, because of this subject and because it's so important, if you want a hard copy of the message, I will be glad to furnish one to you and of all the other messages that will follow this one. So if you need to sit down by yourself and read to see, what was he talking about? That you'll be able to do that. Okay? This is very important to all of us. 1 Peter 3, 14 through 16. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So what we're going to be doing is vitally important to your faith and your well-being. And I don't believe that we are too far along from the time when we may have to experience persecution for our Christian faith. Most of us have never done that. But all over the world, we have brothers and sisters experiencing persecution, experiencing death for their Christian beliefs. And they know what a Christian worldview is and what it means. Now, we're contemplating a Christian worldview, and we'll have to be redundant in some of the things that we say, because some things we will verbalize will be things that you already know, but they will be necessary to your coupling them with things that you do not recognize is part of what establishes your worldview. Now, this is so important to your spiritual well-being that I'm going to make, like I said, I'm going to make copies of the message available in hard copy. Okay? If you want a hard copy of the message, just let me know and I will get it to you. Christians everywhere recognize that there is a great spiritual battle going on in the hearts and minds of men and women around the world. That battle's been going on for centuries, for millennia. We now find ourselves engaged in a universal struggle between morally indifferent culture and Christians engaged in a battle for the souls of men. Our culture that we live in right now is morally indifferent. The society around us, they don't care whether they do what's right or wrong, many of them. People are as apt to lie to you as tell you the truth. In fact, they're probably more apt to lie to you than tell you the truth. And that's because they are morally indifferent. They don't care whether it's right or wrong. And that's the culture that we live in. So, let's think about, there have been great men that have preceded us, men who believed God, men who were men of faith. And many of them have written. They have written based upon their Christian worldview. Maybe you've read some of their stuff. Oh, there's people like Francis Schaeffer, C.S. Lewis, Arthur Holmes, Charles Colson, just to name a few. But our purpose for doing this study is to articulate a Christian worldview in the 21st century, today. And we clearly understand that there are going to be challenges and there are going to be changes taking place all around us as we need to show the world a Christian worldview and what it actually is. That Christian worldview involves everything that goes on in your life. That Christian worldview involves everything taking place in our society. It even is involved in education. There is a Christian worldview in education. Education today in the public schools, there's no place for it. And so it's not being taught. And so our kids are coming out of school without a knowledge of who Jesus Christ even was, or who he is, or what kind of a relationship they can have to him. And this is because you and I and our predecessors have failed to communicate a Christian worldview to the world. In order for a Christian to properly respond to the situations, we need to be reminded of the words of Jesus when he ministered here on the earth. The place that we have to start is actually the great commandment in Matthew 22. Let's turn over there, Matthew 22. That's where it starts. By no means the end, that's where it starts. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Jesus was talking to a large crowd. A young man came and asked him, in verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Legitimate question. Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So we're told in this commandment that we are to love God wholeheartedly with our hearts, our souls, our minds. Jesus was telling you and this young man the same thing that he is telling us this morning, that we are to live our whole life with total devotion to God. We are to include that love in every aspect of our life. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they're not guns and knives, "but mighty through God unto the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that excelleth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, this battle is not going to be with weapons, physical weapons. This battle is a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And that is part of what must be a part of our worldview, our Christian worldview. It doesn't matter how much stuff we acquire. That's stuff. It's going to go away. If Peter is correct, and I believe he is because it's in God's word, one day this is all going to melt away and be burned up. And the only stuff that we will have to take with us will be no stuff at all. It'll be the souls of men and women and children, boys and girls, that we have shared Jesus Christ with, that have believed on Jesus Christ, and their sin is covered by the blood of Christ. So, this passage is trying to tell us not to trust ourselves for anything, but to trust only in God. Everything that you and I have is simply on loan from God. We haven't earned any of it. We don't deserve it. We're sinners. We had a part in crucifying Jesus Christ because of the sin in our lives. So why should we think we're so special? We're not. We're sinners. And I hope that you are a sinner saved by the grace of God. That's what is important this morning. What would comprise a worldwide view of Christianity? Well, we must understand that we must be able to tell people why we have a hope for eternal life. Not just tell them with our mouth, but tell them with our actions. They must see Jesus Christ. They must see our faith in Christ in action in our lives. Now, it doesn't end there. We have to be able to give an answer for the things that we do and why we believe the things that we believe. In other words, we need to be familiar with this book, and you're not going to get familiar by just carrying it around under your shoulder. You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to read it. And that's not enough yet either. You're going to have to believe what you read. Now, either God is God, and He is a God of truth. He is a God who loves you, and He does. He loves all of mankind. He created you. He loves His creation. Have you ever worked on something that was intricate or delicate, and you invested time in it. Maybe it was a model, if you're a child, a model airplane or a ship, or you do something around the house. You spend time painting and making curtains and all the different things you can do to decorate your home. And you spend a lot of time and you invest some money in it. And when you get all done with it, and you've done a good job, do you hate it? No, of course not. You love it. You're proud of it. That's the way God is with the creation. He made you. He made all of creation. And next week, we're going to get into that as we get started on the creation. But for this morning, no. We just need to realize that God loves you because you are part of His creation. And He loved you enough to send Jesus Christ to die for your sin. Now, He was the only one who could die for your sin. You can't die for it. You've got sin. You're a sinner. Jesus Christ was the only human being, and He was human. He was also God. But Jesus Christ was the only human being who ever lived a sinless life. He was the only one who was qualified to be the sacrifice for your and my sin. And that's what He came to do. That's what He did. When they nailed Him to that cross, it was your sin that He was being nailed there for. And He was willing to die, knowing how bad it was going to be. He was willing to die for your sin that you don't have to die for. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Pharisees, came to Jesus at night because he was too ashamed to come during the daytime. And he asked Jesus, he said, we know you're a prophet sent from God. What do I have to do to be part of your kingdom? And Jesus replied, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, what? Do I have to enter into my mother's womb again and be born again? And Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, except a man be born of the water and the blood, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so that's what I'm going to tell you this morning about your Christian worldview. Unless you have believed on Jesus Christ, for take away all of your sin, then you're not saved. You don't have a Christian worldview because you have not been born again. Yes, all of us here this morning, no exceptions, we've all been born physically. Your mother went into labor and she had you and you had no part in it. You were just there. And then you began to grow. She fed you. And look at what the result is. Now, some of us are disappointed, but you don't have to be. God was accomplishing in you what He wanted to accomplish. And He has given every one of you a purpose for living. A purpose of serving Him according to His will, not our will. And that is part of our worldview, our Christian worldview, of how we see God, how we serve God. Now, we are going to try and study God's Word and the things that it teaches in order to have a correct Christian worldview. So that when you express your worldview, that it will be according to the Word of God. Excuse me. Thank you again, AB. You saved the morning. We need to make sure that we do have a correct Christian worldview. So here's the truth of reality. Some people claim to believe on Jesus as their Savior, and they really believe that they've done that. I believe that they're saved and they want to please God, but they don't practice all the things that God says they're supposed to do. They don't live according to what they believe. Why? Because it is difficult to deny ourselves and embrace Jesus' will for us. Every one of you here this morning, I don't know how many of you eat breakfast. And I use food as a lot of illustrations because I know food, okay? Obvious, I know food. But when people get up in the morning, a lot of times they're hungry and they want breakfast. And rather than deny breakfast and say, well, I don't have time for breakfast, I've had to do that a few times in my life. Doesn't show, but I have. And so rather than deny themselves breakfast, they'll stop, they'll eat. All right? God has a will for you. And that will may mean that you have to deny some of the things that you would like to do. The worldview of people who don't practice all of this book is skewed. It's not right. It's got problems. And if a person is watching you, they're going to not really understand fully what a Christian worldview is because you're not exerting one. And that's why we're going to look at this, to see what is involved in a Christian worldview. Do you love God? Yeah. Do you love Jesus Christ? Yeah. Do you really love them? And that's a legitimate question. It's not a trick question. All right. Do you ever not do what the Bible says we're supposed to do?
Well, maybe.
Then what do you do with the verse in John 14:15 that says, if ye love me, keep my commandments? Oops. Do you really love Jesus? Do you really love God? Well, yeah. You know what the problem is? The problem is that you and I live in this thing called a body. That body has appetites. And that mind, which is part of the body, has desires. And because of that, we don't always keep His commandments. Because of our bodies. What can we do about that? We live in this. Next week, remember this is just an introduction today. Next week we're going to get into creation. We're going to get into God telling his people and telling us in his word, he created man in his own image. And folks, I hope that nobody here looks like God. That'd be awful. What a disappointment to get to heaven and see it's you. No, he did create us in his image, but we're going to look at that next week. And part of that is this thing. Maybe not in the way you think. But we're going to look, and we're going to continue to study a Christian worldview. And so, folks, you pray this week that God will help you to understand what your worldview is and see if it conforms to this. God loves you. He loves you more than you have ever loved anything else. He wants you to spend eternity with him. And because of that, he has given you an opportunity to have a Christian worldview. If a person thinks wrongly about God, that becomes idolatry. In Psalm 50, verse 21, it says, "These things hast thou done, and I have kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." Your will has become an idol. John 17:3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." We're going to stop for here this morning. Next Sunday morning, we will continue on looking at our worldview of God. How would you, and I have a question for you to think about, how would you live if the Christian faith were illegal? How would you live if the Christian faith were illegal? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to rightly divide your word of truth. Help us to understand all that you want to do in our lives. And Father, we will praise you for the things you do for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.